Hello, this is Miss Beatrix, a partner creator at The Pervert Paradise, and I will be reading a story titled Girl Scout Gang Rape, a story written by Ernie Walker. This story was commissioned to be read by Dee Gray, whose own stories and fantasy captions can be found also at the Pervert Paradise Discord server. The following fantasy roleplay audio is for adult entertainment and harm prevention purpose only. All situations, scenarios, characters, events described are works of fiction. None of the events described have any basis in reality and are not to be used as encouragement or instruction in any way. I do not condone the activities depicted within this audio. The goal is not to normalize these depictions, but to provide a safe, legal, and consensual outlet that many desperately need. So without further ado, The Girl Scout Gang Rape by Ernie Walker. Part 1, The Sale. Tina studied herself in the mirror as she got ready. She pulled her blonde hair back into a pigtail and smoothed the front of her Girl Scout uniform. She had earned several patches this past spring and wore them with pride. She won the right to lead her own troop selling cookies in a busy strip mall and looked forward to it. Tina! Came the shout from downstairs as her little sister impatiently waited. Jeez, Tina said under her breath. She couldn't believe only 3 years separated her from her twin sisters. The 2 6-year-olds were spoiled little terrors. Tina threw open her door and yelled back, I'm coming! She grabbed her handbag and closed the door, giving the poster of Leonardo a kiss on the way out. Her 2 sisters, Cindy and Sandy, were at the bottom of the stairs in the brownie uniforms, holding their boxes of cookies. Their mother was standing next to them in her robe, holding a cup of coffee. Cindy and Sandy were identical twins, with bright red hair and tons of freckles on their faces. The only way to tell them apart is that Sandy now wore glasses, and Cindy preferred to wear her hair in ponytail. The 2 6-year-olds wore their brownie uniforms and white tennis shoes. You sure you don't want me to go out with you, honey? Her mom inquired. Mom, I earned this. I want to do it all by myself, Tina said. Becky was allowed to go out last week, and Trish the week before, and she's 3 weeks younger than I am. All right, honey, all right. Just be careful. And here, Miss Barnett said as she handed her eldest daughter her cell phone. Just in case. Tina took the phone and put it in her handbag. Okay, she sighed. We'll be fine, Mom. We're only going 2 blocks to the mall. Be careful of the construction on the way, her mom warned. Be sure to cross the street with the light. Her worry may annoy her eldest, but her whole world was about to walk out the door without her control, and she was nervous. Tabitha Barnett had forced her husband out after she had discovered disgusting pictures of little girls on his computer. She didn't know where he got them, but she got rid of him before he could do anything to her little angels. She didn't know where he was now, and she didn't care. It had been 2 months since she saw him last, but as long as he wasn't preying on her daughters, he could do anything he wanted. Tabitha swallowed carefully and opened the door. You got everything? Mom, we're going a couple blocks. I am meeting the rest of the troop in 3 hours in front of the Walmart, where I will check in with Mrs. Snyder. We'll be fine, okay? Okay, sweetie. See you tonight. As the girls trotted out, Tabitha called out, "Call me with what you want for dinner, okay? Anything you want." "Okay, Mom." Tina and her two sisters started down their walkway and turned the corner to head up the street. As soon as they were out of earshot of the house, Tina turned around quickly on her little sisters and laid down the law. "Now, look here, you two. This is my big chance to get a leadership patch, and I am not going to let you mess it up. If you do what I say, I'll make sure you get your brownie team patch. If you mess me up, I will make you very sorry, okay?" Cindy considered fighting about it right there, but Sandy had told her last night after bedtime that they would have to listen to her. That was what being a Girl Scout was, obeying the rules and doing what you were told, even if it was your evil older sister telling it to you. Besides, Sandy had said that this summer there were lots of chances for the twins to get extra patches, that her scout leader had approached her about bonus patches. "If we do what she said," Sandy told her last night, "we would outrank Tina by the end of the summer. Then that would be great." "Okay, Tina, we promise," Sandy started. "We'll be good," Cindy finished. Tina turned around and her little green skirt flipped up and Sandy caught up a quick sight underneath. Tina's panties were white and they didn't have any little designs on them. She was wearing grown-up underwear. She leaned over to her twin and told her this news. Cindy blushed a little and whispered back to her sister that she wasn't wearing any underpants and that was more grown-up than any old white panties. Now it was Sandy's turn to blush because she was wearing her Mulan panties and thought she was growing up. Tina heard the two little girls whispering behind her and decided to let it go. She had made her point and they wouldn't try anything. She was sure of that. They came to the corner and stopped. Tina looked both ways, like she had been taught, and waited for a time to cross the street. Cindy lifted her box of cookies up further into her chest, and Sandy moved the strap of her carrying case to the other shoulder. When the traffic paused, Tina headed across the street, motioning for the twins to follow. The sounds of the construction site started filtering over the traffic as they made their way through the intersection. The 9-year-old stepped up onto the curb and waited patiently as her two sisters brought up the rear. Looking at the site, Tina noticed there were several grown-ups working on various parts of the building. Tina wondered if she might be able to make her first sale here. A shrill whistle sounded, and several of the grown-ups at the construction site put their tools and started to filter toward the half-finished building, quickly moving away from the girls. Tina had to make a quick decision. "Come on, let's go sell some cookies." "But Tina, Mom said..." Sandy started to protest. She didn't like how the men looked. They looked really big and scary. She reached out and gripped Cindy's hand. Tina turned around, glaring at the two little girls. "Now look here. I am the leader, and I say we go here first, okay? We can sell a lot of cookies here, and all we have to do is be cute, okay? Understand?" The two twins looked at each other and nodded. The thought of being able to be promoted over their big sister, and that pushed them forward. "Okay." Tina gave the 2 6-year-olds the once-over and grabbed a box of cookies and headed onto the construction site. As the twins tromped through the gravel behind her, Cindy kicked up dust as she went. Sure that she didn't want to go over there, and sure that something was not right. "Excuse me," Tina piped up as the elevator doors opened and started to load the construction crew. The crew traditionally ate lunch in the half-finished conference room on the fourth floor. The men turned around and saw the three children walking up to them, holding boxes of cookies. "My name is Tina Barnett, and these are my two sisters. Would you like..." Jimbo stepped forward from the rest of the crew. "What you got there?" He reached down and took one of the boxes from Tina's arms. "Thin Mints? Sounds good. How much?" Tina, recovering from the interruption, started again. "Well, all proceeds go to benefit..." "How much, girlie?" Jimbo asked again. A couple of the members of the crew moved around to get a look at the boxes of cookies and the girls carrying them. Joe, one of the more wiry men, started around the other side.
"It's only $3 a box."
"Wow, that's a lot of money," Jimbo said, gesturing to his crew. He knew that it was paltry. Most of these workers were making 10 times that an hour. But these girls didn't know that. They probably also didn't know how sexy they were, with their skinny little bodies and their short skirts. Jimbo felt his cock start to strain against his jeans as he looked their leader over. Couldn't be more than 8 or 9, he thought, as his eyes roamed her preteen body.
"It's going to help us out," Cindy said quickly, not wanting to lose the sale.
A couple of the other men came over to her and her sister, and Sandy moved the case off her shoulder and put it down on the ground, ready to make the sale. Camp was a sure thing now. The elevator doors open. "Here's our ride, ladies. I have to go get my wallet. You want to wait here?"
"Can we come up?" Sandy asked. Her troop leader had been sure to tell her that when you get a sale, do whatever you need to make sure that sale doesn't walk away. She pushed her glasses up from her nose and looked up at the nice men. Ted, standing to her right, felt his cock twitch in response to that angelic face sitting there, level with his crotch. Her sweet mouth less than a foot away from his rapidly engorging cock.
"Sure, sweetie. Sure thing," Jimbo said as he looked around. He caught the eye of a couple of his workers, and in a moment, they decided this was going to be a special lunch.
Part 2, The Elevator. Jimbo looked to the four men who had went over to the twins. He caught their eyes, and they knew instantly what was going down.
"Come on up." Jimbo and his workers, 26 in all, funneled onto the elevator with the three preteen Girl Scouts. It was an extremely large elevator, meant for carting equipment and lumber, but it was still fairly crowded. The men made sure that the three girls found their way into the center. Tina and her two sisters stood in the middle of all these men. Cindy felt a little worried, suddenly remembering that she had not panties on. She was standing there in the middle of all these grown-ups with a bare bottom. She felt her little face flush in embarrassment, and she hoped they wouldn't see. She wished she hadn't done this. Tina looked up at the man standing in front of her, smiled down at her, but it was weird. It wasn't the first time Tina saw that kind of smile. It was the same smile that her daddy had given her 2 years ago when they used to play peekaboo. She missed her daddy. He used to always let her cuddle him, curling up on his lap, and he would always have time to play games with her.
He invented the peekaboo game for her and only for her. When mommy wasn't around, she would go into daddy's office where his computer was, and she would play peekaboo with the computer. He told her about the other people who would be playing with her, looking at her through the camera, and how they would love to play peekaboo, the special version, with just her. She would lift her little skirt, or open her robe, or even pull down her shorts, when her daddy would tell her and the computer would beep. Suddenly, she remembered something about those games. Whenever she went peekaboo, there was always a click. Now her daddy was gone and her mom wouldn't tell her what was going on. Why daddy had to leave? Tina felt it had something to do with the peeka, the doors closed and the elevator lurched. Tina was struck out of her memory by the grown-ups all around her. Cindy and Sandy looked up at the men. They've never been this close to this many big men before. They had spent time with their daddy and his brother, but it had never been like this. Their daddy was a small man compared to these men. It made Sandy scared. The floor vibrated as the elevator went up a few floors. Cindy looked around to her sister, who was looked up at one of the men. She moved her eyes down and saw the man's pants bulging out. The man had something in there. She noticed he was looking at Tina as he moved to the bulge and squeezed it through his jeans. Cindy let out a gasp as she realized what he was doing, what he was holding. She tried to move over to her older sister to tell her what that man was holding. She started to move and she felt a hand fall on her shoulder. Cindy looked up at the black man whose hand was holding her shoulder, holding her in place. He was real strong. She couldn't move. She turned her face up to him and started to smile as the elevator reached its destination. The floor lurched strongly as the doors were opening. The men knew this was coming, but the girls didn't. Before they could realize what was happening, they were thrown off balance into waiting arms. Tina fell forward, her face bumping into the jeans of the man right in front of her. She felt the cool metal of his belt buckle touch her forehead, and she moved her hand to support herself. "That's right. Touch me there," the deep voice responded. Tina suddenly realized where her hands were and started to pull them away. She heard her sister scuffling behind her as she tried to regain her balance and felt a pair of hands wrap around her waist. "What?" Tina started to ask when another hand reached around her head and pulled her into the grown man's crotch right in front of her. Tina felt her teeth scrape the denim as the hands interlaced behind her head, forcing her teeth open, making her mouth engulf the bulge of the denim in front of her. She started to scream, but it was muffled by the engorged cock straining to release itself. Cindy and Sandy fell in opposite direction at the same moment. Cindy to the left, Sandy to the right. Cindy dropped her box as she fell onto the cold steel floor of the elevator. The men had moved to let her fall. She hit her side on the metal and instantly hands were all over her grabbing her. Her first instinct was her strongest, to fight. She didn't know what she was fighting against, but she was fighting all the same. But it was no use. A pair of black hands grabbed her preteen white wrists and held them to the floor, and two more men grabbed her legs and forced them up and apart. She didn't register what was going to happen, only that she had no panties on. She bucked her legs to keep them closed, but the men pulled and separated her legs. The front flap of her skirt fell up and her hips moved, and then she heard it. One of the men had noticed she was missing her panties.
"Hey, this girl ain't got no drawers on," Ernie stated as he gaped down at the preteen mons displayed before him. It was as perfectly smooth and soft, her Girl Scout skirt thrown up onto her stomach and her legs being held up and wide.
"Holy shit, he's right," Arnold said as he gripped the girl's ankles with both hands.
"Ooh-wee, jackpot."
And then the men started to laugh. Sandy didn't hear any of that. She was still trying to figure out what was happening. One minute, she had been standing with her sisters selling cookies. The next, she was up off the floor and being carried away. She had started to scream, but someone shoved their whole hand over her mouth and nose, and she couldn't breathe. Her chest bucked as the air from the scream tried to get out, tried to release, tried to go somewhere, but was denied. Her eyes bulged as she counted no fewer than 5 men surrounding her, carrying her away from her sisters. And then she felt it. She felt a hand move up her leg and hold her between her leg. It gripped her hard, totally covering her pee hole between her legs. She could feel the fingers dig underneath the bands of the elastic as she was carried off into a large room and set down on a large metal object. She felt the fingers probe and pull, touching her down there where no one has ever touched her before. She has only wiped her pee off. She hasn't even touched it. And now these men were sticking their fingers there and moved around her bottom. And then she heard someone say, "Fuck this," and her Mulan panties, her favorite pair, the pair her daddy had given her for Christmas last year, were torn in half. She could feel them on, but now her pee hole was exposed, open to these men as another pair of hands reached inside of her blouse and ripped it open. She felt strong hands course over her body, moving the torn fabric of her blouse aside, exposing her underdeveloped chest. Rough skin rubbed over her prepubescent breasts, pinching and squeezing her. Back in the elevator, Cindy was surrounded by a group of men. One was crouched near her head. She remembered his name as Jimbo. And others had forced her legs open and were using fingers on her and in her. They were putting them inside her pee-pee and in her bottom. She felt the big men open her up and force another finger inside of her. She didn't know what was going on. Another of the men were licking her chest, biting her while he rubbed his thing. They all had their things out. A few of them had completely taken their pants off, and the man between her legs was furiously pumping his thing. He would spit on it and rub the spit all over the middle of it. She felt 2 hands grab her hair and turn her head. She saw Jimbo's pee-pee pointing right at her face. He was moving his hand over his thing, too. "Suck it."
"What?" the little girl asked. She wanted him to suck his thing? Put her mouth there?
Jimbo moved closer and rubbed it on her face, over her nose and cheeks, opening her lips. Cindy kept her teeth closed. She didn't want to suck it. She didn't want it in her mouth. It was big and thick and it smelled funny. "Suck it, bitch," Jimbo said, but the 6-year-old kept her mouth shut. He thought about forcing her mouth open and slipping his cock inside, but she would bite him. And then he would have to kill her. He would have to. No option. "Hey, Tony," Jimbo said, and the man licking and biting her chest looked up. You got an O-ring? Tony reached around his belt, his mouth never leaving her chest. Not really her chest. He was always biting her nipples, but why? And grabbed a round plastic ring and handed it over. Jimbo grabbed the ring and said, open up. Cindy shook her head no. She didn't know what he was going to do, but she was not going to open her mouth, not with the man's thing only 3 inches from her face. Jimbo reached down and felt along her neck. She thought for a second he was going to choke her for not sucking on his thing. Then she felt his fingers moved under her jaw start to press and her mouth popped open. But she didn't want her mouth open. She didn't want... Jimbo quickly popped the O-ring into the preteen's mouth and watched her eyes as she realized what was happening. First, confusion as she couldn't close her mouth, no matter how hard she bit down. Then understanding, immediately followed by horror, she realized what he was going to do. Take that as a lesson, girlie. When I want something, I get it. And right now, I want your mouth. Jimbo grabbed her hair again, positioned the 6-year-old's head over his cock, held it for a second to let her get the full understanding of what she was doing, and slowly moved it down. Cindy felt the grown-up's pee-pee move into her lips, inside the ring that had forced her mouth open. The tip bumped up against the roof of her mouth and kept going. Panic started to strike her as the man's thing drove slowly into her neck, and she started to gag. Her chest started to buck. She couldn't breathe. She tried to lift her head off of it, but Jimbo's hands were too strong. They kept moving her down, moving the thing into her throat. Jimbo felt his cock move past the ring into the child's mouth. It was warm and wet. Her first blowjob. His cock was the first one in her mouth, and she wasn't ever going to forget him. Even if she became a whore who sucked 50 cocks a night, this little girl would always remember his cock. When his cock had moved into her throat and she started to buck, Jimbo applied a little more pressure and the gag reflex opened her throat as he knew it would. And when it did, he drove her head down till his cock was implanted into her throat. She really started the fight then. She couldn't breathe. Of course she was going to fight. Your nose, you cunt. Breathe through your nose. Cindy at this point was so desperate and confused that she violently inhaled, opening her throat and sucking his cock all the way in, ramming her nose into his pubic hair. Oh, fuck! Jimbo yelled, surprised by this movement and loving every second. He ground her face into his crotch for a few seconds as the child greedily inhaled and exhaled with his cock buried in her throat. Then he lifted her off. That's a good little girl, Jimbo said to Cindy as he brought her head off his cock and turned her face up to him. Let's try that again. Tina had no idea what was happening to her little sister. She had been forced onto her hands and knees and was being held in place by 2 of the burly men, one on either side. She felt a strong pair of hands probe underneath her Girl Scout skirt and reveal her white underpants. She inhaled and screamed the loudest she could scream. A powerful hand slapped across her face, dazing her, whipping her head so fast her hairband flew off and scattered across the floor. Another hand pressed between her shoulder blades and pushed her down onto the cold metal floor. The impact drove the breath out of her. the hands rub between her legs, and she felt fingers move underneath the elastic bands of her crotch, rubbing the cotton, rubbing her cunny. She felt her face flush red as this strange man probed her. Then she felt it. She felt fingers reach inside the cotton padding from either side and start to pull in opposite directions. The fingers flexed, rubbing her labia lightly, causing her to gasp. And before she could realize what was totally happening, her panties ripped in half, showing all the grown-ups standing around her, her most private part. She tried to scream again, but the breath would not come. She could only moan as the man behind her ripped her white panties, her only pair of grown-up underwear, from seam to seam, turning them into a perverse skirt. Only thin bands of elastic remained between her legs as the cotton padding was torn apart and left to flap against her bottom. She heard her sister grunt behind her. Cindy, her six-year-old sister. Oh my God, Cindy, run, was all she could get out before she felt the finger start to enter. She wasn't sure, but she felt at least three starting to open her. She felt an openness between her legs that she had never felt before, even when she used to play with her daddy, when she would open her legs for him and he would take pictures of her. That was nice. It was fun, and it made her giggle. She started to remember the shocked look her daddy would give her any time she really opened up her legs. He always seemed surprised that she could open her legs that wide, spread herself that far. She felt a finger move up to her bottom, and she wondered for a split second why. Why would they touch her bottom? There was nothing. And then she felt the pressure. The fingers continued to probe around inside of her. She felt them so far they touched her lid. Her mommy told her it was her hymen, but she liked her daddy's term better. And she feared they were going to open it. "Hey, Jimbo, she's fresh," Al remarked, with two fingers driven up to the second knuckle inside the 9-year-old Girl Scout. He took his other finger, stuck it inside his mouth, and covered it with saliva. And he resumed pressing onto that oh-so-tight asshole.
"I'm busy. Popper yourself," was the response that Tina heard, and her heart sank.
She had just started to have dreams about her love life. She hadn't even thought about losing her virginity yet. And here she was, forced down like an animal, with her bottom in the air, her panties in tatters, with a bunch of cruel men staring at her, probing her, stroking themselves into readiness. Again, the mumble from behind her made Tina think of her little sister. She moved her head to see what was happening to her innocent sibling, and what she saw turned her stomach. The 6-year-old, her brownie scout uniform torn open, revealing her prepubescent breasts, were turned on her side from the chest up, and her head was being forced down onto the penis of one of the men, bobbing up and down furiously, his massive hands on either side of her head, with her bright red hair being used as obscene handles, while he basically using her entire face and mouth as a hole to thrust his cock into. He would yank her hair up. Her eyes would wince as the cock pulled out of her undeveloped throat, and she would gasp quickly, trying to breathe before he pushed her head back down, quickly driving his penis back into her throat, when she would mumble and gag. Tina thought, why doesn't she bite him? That at least would make him stop. And that was when she saw what was holding her sister's mouth open. Then men had shoved a white
plastic object into her mouth. She couldn't bite. She was forced to take thrust after thrust deep into her jaw. Tina saw her sister's jaw and neck bulge as the man repeatedly throat-fucked the six-year-old. Tear streaks were pouring down her cheeks as the man cruelly used her. She opened her eyes briefly as her head was yanked up and she caught the eyes of her sister. The terror in her pupils was incredible as she tried to understand what was happening. Why was this man hurting her? What did she do wrong?
Oh, fuck. So fucking soft, Jimbo yelled as he pulled her head off his cock.
A long string of drool connected this child's mouth to the tip of his cock. Her chin and upper lip were raw from rubbing onto his coarse pubic hair.
You are a natural cocksucker, kid. A true natural.
Cindy looked up at him, dazed from the fierce oral assault she had just endured, not understanding what he was saying. He was calling his thing a cock? She knew that now. She could feel her drool spread all over her face and her skin was raw. She wondered what was next. She looked over to her older sister again, and their eyes met once more. Then Cindy looked at the men crouched behind Tina. He was pumping his cock like all the men around them, but he was doing it right by her older sister's bottom. And before she could warn her sister what was going to happen, the man grabbed the edge of the Girl Scout skirt and pulled her against him. Tina felt the man's fingers loop under the waist of her skirt. Then she felt the pressure of his penis against her bottom. Tina screamed with renewed vigor, and another man used that opportunity to ram an O-ring into her mouth. Her mind reeled at the concept of what both men were doing, but before she could fully process what was happening, she was filled at both ends with grown-up cock. Al felt the head of his cock push and push and push into this preteen's asshole until it popped in, and the delicious burning of the unlubricated flesh aroused him even more. He continued to push into her and felt the muscles inside her colon try to reject him, try to force him out. No fucking way. He was too turned on to stop. He threw his weight behind the anal rape of the little girl and felt his cock fall into her ass, pushing past the last sphincter muscle and opening it up to him. Tina would have gasped, but her throat was full of the man's cock as he rammed it down her throat. She was able to stop him from choking after the first strokes, learning quickly to breathe through her nose, but it was still very painful. Having this man yanking her hair and driving her face into a sweaty crotch, having his cock thrusting in and out of her throat. Occasionally, he would grind her face into his pubic hair and just leave his penis in her mouth, his balls rubbing against her 9-year-old chin. Al and Jack continued to ravage the preteen as the men around them pumped their cocks. Sometimes they would thrust in unison, leaving the once innocent Girl Scout devoid of cock and breathing heavy after they pulled out. They would lock eyes and nod, and they would both grab her roughly and fill her up, Al in her ass and Jack down her throat. She would buck as the grown-up cocks would violate her, then settle down, prepping them for another assault. Then they would alternate, one filling her throat, and when he pulled out, the other would drive his adult cock into her preteen asshole.